There's no children's church this morning, so but we'll be out of here in an hour, and you'll be good, okay? Hang in there. Well, good morning, and Merry Christmas. There was a couple who were about 60 years of age. And they were working out in their yard and on a December day when all of a sudden they discovered a bottle with a cork in it. They took the cork off, and to their surprise, out came a genie. Now, they heard about genies in jokes and other places, but they have never experienced anything like it. But the genie said to them this, "I will grant you an early Christmas present, anything that you would like." Well, the wife looked at him, looked at genie and says, "Anything we want? Yes, anything you want." He said, "Well, I've lived in this house for 3.5 decades, and it's a nice house, but I would really love to live in a mansion. But I know it's probably too much to ask." She said, "No, no, no." Puff. All at once, their house was this huge mansion, beautiful place with great landscaping. And she goes, "This is the greatest gift I have ever received in my life." And then the genie turned to the husband and says, "Okay, it's your turn. What would you like?" Well, he was a safe distance from his wife, and he says, "You mean anything that I want?" "Yes, anything that you want." So he looked at her across the room, and he said, "Well, I've always wanted to be married to someone who's 30 years younger than me." Poof! He was 90 years old. See, some gifts just don't turn out the way you want them. Sometimes when we ask for something that we want, but not something that we need. So this morning, I'd like to talk to you about a few things. Looking at a passage in Colossians 1, talk about what Jesus offers us. Does Jesus offer us something that is long-lasting? Is it more than just 24 hours? Will it last more than this week? I mean, maybe a week into January? Maybe 6 months? Maybe something for eternity? See, maybe you already have sat around a table like this season. Or maybe you're going to be sitting around this table, gathered around with friends and family. Maybe it's a reunion of family members. Maybe it's with close friends. When you sit around a table like this, usually when you go to that table, you say to yourself, "I hope I get beside Aunt Sally. She's my favorite aunt." But what happens sometimes is you end up with Cousin John, and he's obnoxious. He has bad manners. He even eats off your plate. He might say, "Hey, could you loan me a little money? I'm going through a difficult time." But we have interactions around a table over Christmas. And you can talk. This morning I want to talk about three different gifts that sometimes occurs around a table that Jesus offers us, not just for Christmas, but all year round. So this morning, I invite you, if you have your Bibles, to turn Colossians 1, 21 through and 22 and following. Three things that Jesus offers us, not just at Christmas, but throughout the year. And the first one is that Jesus offers us a pardon for our past. It says in Colossians 1, 21 and 22 this, "Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusations." Our behavior sometimes, our evil behavior, separates us, alienates us from God. And that may be you told a lie, took credit for something with your boss that someone else did. Maybe your marriage went south through some decisions you made. Whatever your behavior that you've been a willing participant is, Jesus says at Christmas time around his table that I came to pardon you and to forgive you. That's why Jesus came to earth. Now, this time of the year, there's a lot of smells around the house and around the area. There's a smell of cookies baking, that smell of cinnamon. And oh, yeah, don't forget that smell of a fresh cut tree or a few candles. Well, just the other day, I complained to Dawn. I said, there is a weird smell in our house. I said, this smell is kind of obnoxious to me. And she looked offended, actually. She goes, well, that's my new candle. I said, well, it doesn't agree with me. It's pretty strong, and I don't like it. So she was nice enough to blow out that candle for that day. But that smell still kind of lingered in the house. And I thought about that as I sit around the table today and think about the different smells. Then I think about what God smells. That there's a lot of things in the smells that we bring up to heaven can be offensive to him. In fact, some of the things that we do and we say and we encounter with other people can be offensive to our Father in heaven. What's amazing to me is no matter how much the stench smells, that on Christmas, Jesus came. And he came to offer forgiveness. He came to save us. He came into this world as a human to save humanity. A pardon for our past, for your past and my past. And he accepts us. And he gives grace to those who make him Lord of their lives. I think a second thing that Jesus offers us at this time of the year, he offers us a purpose for our lives. That we have a reason to be here. In Colossians 1:27, Paul says this, God has chosen to make known among Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I want you to concentrate this morning on that phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you realize that Christ sets up residence in you? That we, through the Holy Spirit, can rely on him. He lives inside of us. That Christ is in you and me. And that gives us direction and purpose in our hearts. And what's totally amazing to me is when we give Christ our heart, he gives his heart in return. And I know many times as we think about this and look at our lives, we ask, how can God ever love me with all the things that I've done? But see, I think for us to understand this Christmas is this. When God looks at you, when you become a Christian, a Christ follower, he does not see you. He sees Christ in you. That is this hope of glory, Christ in you. And then verse 28 says this, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. We proclaim him. We can purposely, boldly proclaim and share him with the world. I hear this time and time again when we talk about this subject, about people going out and proclaiming the good news, and especially at Christmas time, we say Merry Christmas. It's one way for us to say it. But for some of us say, well, you know, Lynn, my personality really isn't wired to really share Jesus with people. And I would agree with that. I would agree that some of you, your personalities do not work very well with proclaiming him to people. But I think what Paul is saying in Colossians is, you're right. Some of our personalities are not wired to be boldness. And that's why we have Christ in us. The Holy Spirit goes way beyond our personalities for us to go out and he puts people in our paths, and we have an opportunity to be mature and to grow in Christ. This maturation process with Christ takes place. And then verse 29, he says this, "And then to this end, I strenuously contend for all the energy Christ powerfully works in me." And I hear these words and I say, well, it's not just at Christmas time. It's not just when we gather around with Christian folk. But this is a process. This labor, this striving, this straining, this term that is used, we get the word gymnasium from. This physical effort that we actually put forth to be a follower, to do our part. And God says, don't worry, I got your back and I'll do my part. See, this process takes on a deeper meaning at Christmas. And you know why? Because we have this Emmanuel, God with us. Let me tell you what Emmanuel does not mean. Emmanuel does not mean God was with us. It does not mean God will be with us. It's better than all those things. It's God is with us. It is timeless. Paul points out that God takes up residency in this baby. And we think about that. We think about the Christmas time. It's so amazing that God took up residency in this baby. And that beautiful, precious little baby. But you know what's even more amazing? It's the words we understand at Christmas time. What's more amazing is that God not only took residence up in a baby, but also he took residence up in each one of us. That's the amazing part. He chose to indwell in the hearts of sinful people. That is the good news of the gospel. That God is with us is good news, but Christ in you is even better news. And he offers to his followers pardon for our past and purposes in our lives, but he also offers us a place at the table. It's an invitation. It's personal. Whenever you invite someone over to your house for a dinner, it's more intimate. It's beyond just surface talk. Or we say, hey, let's do lunch. That has significance. Or come to my house. That takes us to a whole nother level. When we sit around the table and we fellowship together and we eat around this table. Or we say, hey, grab a seat. Hey, sit down. Let's talk. Colossians 1, 19 and 20 says this, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." So why can we have a place at the table? See, naturally, we are enemies of God. We have a sinful nature. But we can be reconciled back to him. And that happens through Jesus Christ. When he shed his blood on the cross. And sometimes we hear that and we say, well, I don't even know if I understand what that all means. But let me help you unpack this morning. He was born as a baby. Grew up and he was tempted. And yet he remained without sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. He could have stayed up in heaven. He could have stayed up there. But instead he came down. He could have saved himself. But instead he saved us. He reconciled himself to us, and we can have a right relationship. And reconciliation can take place, that we can sit across the table, that we can break bread with people, that we can get more intimate because of a relationship with Jesus. See, although many times we feel unworthy of his love, this is what God does. He says, hey, it's okay. Pulls out a seat and says, take a seat. Welcome, welcome to my table. But Jesus also makes it crystal clear that we reject his offer at the table, we will be condemned. But the good news is we can have a divine pardon and a purpose in life. And we can have a seat at his table for all eternity. And then I want to end with this story, which I'm going to read. It's a story about a pastor and his wife who reached out to the brokenness. It's a ministry called Scarlet Hope. Scarlet Hope has ministries all over the country. And what it is Christian ladies seek to reach out to broken ladies in the adult entertainment industry. A number of cities and churches all over the country do this. They seek to introduce these ladies to the love of Christ, to help them change their lives. And this morning I'm going to read a story of a preacher who wrote about this account one Christmas when the preacher and his wife invited people over to their house for a Christmas party. He says this, "My wife and I partnered with a ministry in our town and decided to have Christmas dinner and a party for these girls. Many who have been so wounded by others and ignored by churches. Soon, dozens of girls arrived. They streamed in to my house. Some had found Christ and hung up their dancing shoes. Some are contemplating to live a life for Christ, and others just aren't really sure what's going on, but they're feeling the love. And there they were in my house. They helped decorate the table with place settings. They put up some more decorations. And through this, some share that they have never been to a Christmas dinner in their entire life. The longer they were there, the more comfortable they got. I watched friendships being formed. Gifts were given to each one from a ladies' Bible study. And then each was given a red rose. One of the ladies brought a friend, a former dancer, who shared later that on the way to the house, the former dancer shared how she had a bad experience with Christians in the past. She said, I remember the time I would enter the club to go to work, and there would be a line of Christians outside with their signs and their posters. And they called her names. They called her a whore. Now, the lady who was driving this woman in the car told her, you don't need to worry about that happening here. This will be different. And the preacher says, and I hope it was. Preacher goes on, I said, I shared a sermonette about the real meaning of Christmas. Then we prayed. Those girls do not pray like church people pray. No pretenses. With their sordid past, experiencing major transformation, they poured out their hearts in prayer. He said, when they were done, then I prayed. He said, I paused in the middle and acknowledged my wife, and I prayed, Lord, I want to thank you for a wife who allows me to invite dozens of women over to a house for dinner. And several of the women said, amen. And quickly, one of the young women said, stripper girls at that. And everyone laughed, and I continued with my prayer. As soon as I concluded my prayer, one of the girls who was a committed Christian blurted out, we are not stripper girls. We are not anymore. The Bible says we are new creations. And the Christian gals agreed with her. And the preacher writes, and so do I. That gal wanted to make sure. Knew that is what they were, but not who they are now. He goes on, Satan knows your name but calls you by your sin. Jesus knows your sin and he calls you by your name. It's a huge difference. And then Paul says in Romans, therefore now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What name does Satan call you? May not be stripper girl. Maybe disengaged wife. Maybe workaholic father. Maybe a dishonest employee or rebellious teenager. God offers you a pardon for your past. He calls you a new creation. And what happened around that preacher's table that day is a message for all of us. See, when we think about it, none of us feel like we belong at the table. But Jesus, at Christmas time when he came, invites us to trust him. The pardon for our past, purpose for our lives, and yes, a place at his table. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Merry Christmas.